to verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Father, bless our time in your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to find my phone, maybe. Is my phone over there? It's actually my clock, so we want to find it. Yeah? No? Huh. That happens all the time. Oh, thank you. 7:15. This is a great portion of Scripture. We're going to work through it. We may get through it real fast. It may take us a while. So listen real well. If you can listen better than I can preach, we'll get along real well tonight. So, we start out, and I've always wondered how this fits. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And I finally figured it out one day. They come up and they want to see Jesus. These are Greeks. Actually, these Greeks represent the rest of the world. But they're sort of representative, and they come and they want to see Jesus. People want to see a deliverer. They have heard that life is better around Jesus. And so they come and they want to see Jesus. They find one of his disciples and they say, We want to see Jesus. And then Philip finds Andrew and they go and say, Hey, Jesus, there's some Greeks here at the feast. By the way, the feast is the feast of Passover, which we know that this is leading up to Jesus being, not born, crucified. Okay? And so everything that's said is done in the shadow of the cross, especially at this point. And so they ask, and if you think about the Greeks, where they were, turn over to Isaiah 60 to set some context of why these people might have shown up. Isaiah chapter 60, you know what it says before you get there. This is prophetic. It's speaking to Israel. Arise, shine, for thy light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Isn't that awesome? Oh, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Man chose to live and create his own kingdom apart from God. As a result, we had Babel. As a result, we had the lineage of Cain. And over and over and over, man spread out and populated the earth. And this scripture in the Old Testament prophesies to the day that Jesus will be here. And it says, in that day, here is the problem. The whole earth is going to be filled with darkness. Gross darkness is going to fill the earth. And the Gentiles are going to look and they're going to see. They're going to try to find glory at the light of your rising. And so they come seeking something glorious. They are looking for a kingdom that will dispel the darkness. They are looking for a kingdom that will organize their life in a way better than they have organized it. Because there's always an organizing principle with every nation. With every organization, there is an organizing principle. Just stop and think about it. Your family. Your family is organized around certain internal principles. The first person to the table gets the most cookies. Or the first person to the table only eats one cookie, hoping on the inside that nobody else comes. And then they can eat the rest of them. But you can look at every family and you can see the things that are of value to them. What they believe to be true and what they believe to be life is all about. You know, it doesn't matter what those 10 things on the wall are. You know, everybody has their 10 somethings on the wall. Mama's 10 rules or whatever. But how they act is who they are. And who they are is what organizes that family. Cities are that way. Cities are organized. You know, some cities are called the city of brotherly love for a reason. Some cities are noted for their treachery. You don't want to be on their streets at night. Other cities are organized around other organizing principles. Not political principles, but the principles that people live by become that city. We are organized in certain ways. See? And then you have states. You have churches. Churches are organized according to certain principles. You know, say what you want about the Bible. Say what you want about doctrine. But if you want to know what people really believe, don't listen to what comes out of their mouth, but look at the way they live life together. A church that lives by the principles of the kingdom will be full of peace, will be fruitful, and will be a place of protection, and will be a place of death. A church that's organized according to the democratic principles of the United States of America will have to cater to the popular desire of the church, whatever it happens to be this year. Does that make sense? What people believe, how they give power and take power, what we do with our life, we organize in ways that I have total control of my life and I release it in the way that I believe I should. If I find myself in an oppressive government and I have inside of me an inward principle that's opposed to that government, what will I do? I will become a revolutionary because I don't like the principles by which we are organized, so I will work against it. And so those values by which those things are organized change and they float. And can I really get down to the end of the message real quick? Anything outside of the kingdom of God is organized by darkness. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so as the nations were scattered throughout the earth, the organizing principle became, somebody offends me, I'll kill 100 of them. That city has what I want. I'll go take it. And then it gets civilized. And then we find economic ways to oppress one another. We find ways to manipulate into the best position. And so just take my word for it, because the Bible says it. So don't take my word for it. The Bible says that everything apart from the kingdom of God is centered in man's selfishness. So families fall apart, or families stay together selfishly, unless they operate on the kingdom of God. And so these Greeks, we don't know where they're from, but more than likely they're under Roman rule. And here we have a king who is coming to liberate, and they want to see what this is all about. A new king is coming into the earth, okay? You with me? Did I lose you? Okay. So, they come and Philip tells Andrew, and again Andrew tells Jesus. And how many of you have ever heard somebody teach about evangelism from this portion of Scripture? You know, maybe you don't know how to share the gospel. And so, look here, Philip went and found Andrew, and then they went and Andrew shared, told Jesus about it. Has anybody ever heard that? Well, don't function on that principle. Because from what I can tell, these guys never get to talk to Jesus. That just reminds Jesus of something. And he says, oh, by the way, so they never get there, at least in this portion of Scripture. And Jesus answered and said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Oh, Gentiles are coming. Oh, arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The Gentiles are beginning to come. My hour is come. Now is the time that I should be glorified. Dan has taught on glory many times, and he can do it. I can't. I cannot explain glory. But every time I'm around something that's glorious, I point it out to people, because for me, glory is something that's very hard to explain. But once you've touched it, you know what it is. Does everybody know that piece, Fanfare for the Common Man? Anybody know? Can anybody hum that? It's a good hummer? I didn't think so. But really majestic music. But a lot of times glory is around inaugurations. You know, when we inaugurate the President of the United States, we try to really honor through our music, through our speeches, through the presence of dignitaries, this position. We give that honor, okay? And what we do is we experience the glory of the greatness of that situation. And now Jesus says, what does he say? Glorify who? Who does he say to glorify? The Son of Man. To glorify means to share glory. God, now share your glory with the Son of Man. Jesus didn't say me. He didn't say me because I'm the Son of God. But he says, share your glory now with the Son of Man. I have come into the earth and I have lived as a man. And Jesus is hearkening back to the promise where, I left my phone down there. Oh, well. It was oppressing me anyway. And so he comes and says, glorify the Son of Man. And he's looking back to that place where once man had given the kingdom over to darkness and had built through Babel and Cain and, you know, Arizona and every other place that's been since then, God had promised that, look, I'm not going to take this away from you. I'm going to share the glory of my kingdom, the awesomeness of what it means to live in the kingdom of God. I am going to share it with you. From the very beginning, I said that I would create you in my own image and put my glory on you. But we always rebelled against the government of God in every way. But one man came and said, look, you live in a family. You live in a city. You live in a church. You live in a state. And everything in you wants to organize it to yourself. And because of that, there is no true glory in the earth. But I'm going to tell you, one day there is going to be a man who is going to be willing to submit once again to the rule of God, and my glory will be upon him. And I will be glorified in the earth through him. And so Jesus says, my time has come that God himself would complete his promise in the earth by glorifying himself in a man. It's about to happen. Hallelujah. Okay? So that's what's going on. And so Jesus is about to initiate the kingdom. He's about to set it up and he's going to say, I've got a new organizing principle for you. I'm going to explain to you the secret that has caused families, cities, friendships, businesses to fall apart. They have not been organized according to this principle. Let me share it with you. I'm about to do it. And he's not really telling them to do it. He's getting ready to tell them what he's going to do. Let me show you a different kind of city. Let me show you a different way to live. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Here's the point. People who live in a certain way, and I'll talk about that in a second, all of the life that they could ever live is captured in a very small seed. And as long as they want to keep all the life they've got inside of them and protect it and demand that everything be organized around them to protect the life that they have, they will never enjoy the fruitfulness of participation in what this kingdom is all about. Because in this kingdom, that seed must be broken open. And the life in that seed must flow out and receive in. But that cannot happen until it falls to the ground and dies. Ben Flannery is over at my house in my gun safe. There's no guns. I don't believe in guns. I have this in my safe, in my safety box thing. Anyway, in this big, what I have three canisters that are about this big, and they are vacuum packed. Guess what? They are vacuum packed with. I mean, guess what's vacuum packed inside? Huh? Coffee. Yes, I have three cans of coffee for when times go bad. Anybody want to guess? Black powder. Another good guess. Yeah, I'm going to start putting together bullets. Wheat, close. Food, it is food. It's a seed bank. I have enough seed in each of those canisters to plant a half acre. I could have an acre and a half of garden out of those little cans. They are vacuum packed and sealed. Inside of that cylinder, there are little packages. And those little packages are vacuum packed. And all those seeds are in there Very, very safe. And they will stay very, very safe. They will probably never get out of that bag. They'll probably never get out of the can. And the instructions demand at all costs that you protect them from anything on the outside getting in, unless you want them to be fruitful. And you take off the top and let in the light, and you rip open the sack, and you take those seeds, and if you're smart, you'll soak them in water for a couple of days, and then you put them in the ground and you bury them. And everything around will make them soft and break them and open them up. And they'll grow. And once they grow, they'll interact with one another. And they'll become fruitful. And then they'll produce not only food for the hungry, but they will create more seed. And then that seed will have a choice to go and hide in a can and protect itself from being broken, or it can open up and become fruitful. This is the organizing principle of the kingdom of God. You have a life that was given to you, but through sin you've become hardened and you've decided to keep that life for yourself. You organize your family around life for yourself. You organize your job around your life for yourself. Most of us did not come to the University of Kentucky because we believe that God had a place for ourselves, for us to lay ourselves down to serve the world by being at the university. Most of us thought in terms, where can I get the best education? Some of us, even in the late 80s and 90s, opened up U.S. News and World Report and tried to identify the job that we would make the most money in, and we've organized our life around how I can make the most money. So, what I'm trying to tell you is, remember, you're supposed to listen better than I preach. So I'm going to preach to you like you're listening. So the other thing I wanted... Sorry, I shouldn't do that. But I do a lot of things I shouldn't. You abide alone, okay? It doesn't say that you won't be in families, but you'll abide alone. It doesn't say you won't have a city, but it says you will abide alone. As long as the organizing principle of our life is self-preservation in any way, we are alone. We are alone. Intimacy, relationship must be a two-way street. And so I don't care how happy people look. I don't care how set they are for retirement. The biggest problem in the world is everybody is alone, even if they're with a bunch of people, because the Bible says so. Take that to the bank. If you don't fall to the ground and die, you abide alone. So you got people coming, wanting to get into the kingdom, or wanting to see Jesus, and Jesus says, oh yeah, that's right. I see, now it's time. My Father has told me that now I must live out the organizing principle of the kingdom, which is this: I must lay my life down. Okay? A place that you might be able to relate to it, to understand if you've laid your life down yet or not, is over in Luke. So flip over to Luke. I think it's chapter 16. If I can get my glasses focused, Here, I'll tell you where it is. 16:8. He goes on in the next verse and he says, "He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life." So, an example of how to hate your life. Verse 8. "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man..." Oh, that's not the one I wanted. Who does it tell you to hate your mommy and your daddy? Does anybody know where that one is? Nope. I had this beautiful sermon prepared. It's in the printer back home. Well, we're gonna look till we find it. Group participation night. Maybe it's 9:24, Luke 9:24. Oh no, but that's a good one. These are all the verses we used to use. Who found it? Luke 14:26. Thank you. Daniel, cut that out and make it look smooth, okay? "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." I think the one place that we are able to rule most clearly out of the organizing principle of this world is in our family. A man's home is his castle. Unless, of course, he chooses to turn his children into nurses and doctors, and his home is a hospital that belongs to the world. We want to take our family and organize it according to what makes me safe and happy and protected and happy and safe and protected. And Jesus says, you have got to be willing to give up and even hate your mother and father. In other words, the will of the kingdom has to take precedence over what you would want to do to make your home a safe place to protect you from what God would like you to pour your life out for. Does that make sense? Well, go figure that out. That was the one place that I'd looked where it talks about actually how do you give up your life. And it has to do with the organizing principle of your family. Is your family organized to be fruitful for the kingdom, or is it organized to be a self-contained, protected little group that has fun at Christmas time? This is my Christmas sermon. Okay, well, let's keep going. And so, "He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Okay? God, glorify your Son. Glorify the Son of Man. Put your glory on me. How are you going to put your glory on me? Because I am going to live out the organizing principle of the kingdom, which is death to myself for everybody else. And that is going to be the extension of God's glory. If you'll look on down, it says, verse 28, "Father, glorify thy name." Father, glorify the Son of Man. Father, glorify thy name. In other words, God, make your name glorious by having in the earth a son who will organize according to your principle. And here's your man. Father, kill me if you need to, for the purposes of your kingdom. so that life can come forth. Does that make sense? You with me? Isn't this awesome? And it gets better. It says, so you, if you want to be in this kingdom, the Gentiles are coming, everybody's coming, you want to be in this kingdom? Well, I'm going to get you into it, but you need to decide before you come to the kingdom, is this what you really want? Wouldn't you rather have a democratic revolution where you would get to vote? Or wouldn't you rather have a socialistic system that takes from the rich and gives to you because you're poor? None of that in this kingdom. This kingdom will exact your life from you, and it belongs to my Father. And His way is, He knows what you were created for. You will take your life and you will use it for you. God has 7 billion people in the world who live to serve you. And you were created to be one of the 7 billion people in the world that serves everybody else. But as long as you're trying to organize the world, organize the nation, organize the state, organize your family, organize your friends, and organize everything that you're a part of so you get your fair share, you don't understand the kingdom. And so Jesus said, God, glorify yourself in a man. Let some men obey you, and for people to see the majestic entrance of light into the world. You want my kingdom? Follow me. If any man serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. Oh my! And him will my Father honor. If you live this way, the glory of God will come upon your life, and people will be drawn to the kingdom. And they'll be talking to your friends, and they will say, hey, I want to know that guy. Make sense? If we live according to this organizing principle, our life will draw people. Our families will draw people. Our church will draw people. And my goal before I die is to get enough people in this city living according to an organizing principle that when people come from out of town, they say, wow, that's an amazing city. But we can't make that happen. There's only one kingdom for sure. There's only one place that we have absolute freedom to choose. And that's my own seed. Will I follow Jesus and let it be poured out for other people? Follow me. But let me be real vulnerable with you. My soul is troubled. I'm a man like you, Jesus says. And I'm troubled. This is not a hop, skip, and a jump to the cross to get past a hurdle. I'm troubled about this. Should I say, Father, let me live another way? No, no. I'm here for this hour. I live to be poured out for the people of God. And then God says, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. I am going to glorify myself in you, son. And see, he said that. It goes on. It says, he didn't say this. So Jesus is like, okay. He said it so everybody around could hear. This is my son. You need to know from heaven, this is the way to live. Because unless you get a revelation from God that this is true, if this is not true, you would be an idiot to do it. If there is no God, and if there is no kingdom other than this, then you should live with the organizing principle of protect myself and get as much as I can. But if there's a God, if there's a God in heaven who will speak into the earth, you should organize according to the one that he spoke to. His name was Jesus. And he laid his life down for you and me. And he began a kingdom of light that began to spread into the darkness. This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. I'm going to judge this world. All the kingdoms of the world are in conflict. Organized this way. We're organized better. No, we're organized better. Our people have more, therefore we must be organized better. We're safest. We must be organized better. Now is the judgment of this world, and Satan, who has darkened their mind, is cast out, and light is coming, and there's a better way to organize your life. And if I will do it, if I will go ahead and be the Son glorified in the earth, I will draw all men unto me. We would see Jesus. Jesus, these guys want to meet you. My time has come. They want to know about the kingdom. I'm going to show them the kingdom. And then, when I am lifted up, not only those Greeks, but every person in the world is going to see the reality of the kingdom of God. And the nations will come to the brightness of His rising. Hallelujah. And now, that gospel has come to us, that organizing principle of the kingdom of God, which is, we were created by a Father who knows best how we should live our life. Are we going to keep closed to that? Especially when it comes in the package of somebody around us? Or are we going to die? And are we going to allow God to strip away our protection, strip away our comfort, strip away everything that would be protection for us, and call us by His Spirit to allow the glory of God to come and rest on us as we lay our lives down for one another and our neighbor and our enemy. Hallelujah. I don't know what that says about Syria and ISIS, but it says something. I don't know what it says about the economic problem in the European nations, but it says something. I don't know what that says about the particular ills that you're concerned about in your nation, but it says something. But I do know what it says about us. It says, if we will let go of our protections, then God will begin to produce life around us and more abundant life. And we will partake, it says in this scripture, we will enter into life eternal. And what is life eternal but a relationship with God lived out in His image. Amen? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. I'm done.